Turn with me tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John, chapter 16. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here for you. Actually, we're going to cover some territory tonight in chapter 14, 15, and 16 of John. But for our starting place, we'll read these two scriptures together. So if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, John 16, verse number 7. Jesus speaking, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And then there's not a period there because the paragraph continues on for several verses, but I'm going to pause there. And really should have stopped right after the words, "and when he has come," amen, "when he has come," the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, when he has come, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness to us. And I ask, Lord, that you would enable me to speak the things that you've laid on my heart to say, that you would draw us all closer to you, that you would help us, O God, and help us not only to be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Work your will in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. And Brother Michael, I don't see you, but these monitors are a little loud for me. So if you could adjust them down just a little bit. All right. This week I was praying and talking to the Lord and just said something along the lines of, "Lord, I'm running out of opportunities to preach to Union Road. My days are numbered, and I've got lots I want to say." And I reminded the Lord, you know, in case he forgot, the sermons that I had preached since we've been here. And early on, I tried to follow the leading of the Lord in this time of transition and preaching about the need for unity, the need for faithfulness, staying in the boat. If you remember that message from way back then. And then the Lord, you know, led me in a variety of subjects, preaching on salvation and even several Sunday nights I preached to you about end times, or tried to at least incorporate those thoughts into my messages. So I was aware that the Lord had, you know, given me a lot of different messages in different directions. But I said, "Lord, what is it that I haven't yet preached that I need to share with the church?" And almost instantly, amen, I thought, amen, I haven't preached, or I would like to say the Lord said, "You haven't preached on the need for the Holy Ghost." Amen. The need for the Holy Ghost. Amen. I am a Pentecostal preacher. Amen. I do believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe it's a necessary experience for the children of God. Amen. And I believe especially that we need the Holy Ghost now. And so my title tonight is Why We Need the Holy Ghost Now. Why we need the Holy Ghost now. We need him, church. Amen. We need him because Jesus said we need him. He told his disciples, and I believe by looking at this verse, he is also telling us the importance of this when he says, "It is expedient for you, absolutely necessary for you. I have to go away. I must go away. Because if I go not away," let me just interject my words here, "the next phase of the plan of God won't happen." Amen. The next phase of the plan, amen, that needs to happen. "If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come," Praise God. And then he begins to talk about the different things that the Holy Ghost will do. And so, once again, I believe that Jesus was letting them know and us know that it's absolutely necessary that this next phase, amen, of the plan of God, this pouring out of the Spirit, this baptism of the Holy Ghost, this making a way for individuals not only to be saved, which was the work of Christ here on earth and his death on the cross and his burial and resurrection, the purchase price of our salvation. But not only that, not only our salvation, but the making of a way that human beings could be filled with the very Spirit and presence of God. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. And we need him for several different reasons. And so I will try to pick up a little speed to get through these main points tonight. But they are the main points. So I need to talk to you about them a little bit. And I will tell you in advance, once again, I've got 7 points. So all of you that feel the need to run on out, here's your opportunity. I gave you a warning in advance. 7-point message this morning and 7-point message tonight. Amen. I said I'm running out of time. I've got to squeeze a lot in the next couple of days. Amen. I believe we need the Holy Ghost because, and now we back up a few pages. We'll come back to chapter 16, but I'm going to try to get these in order. By the way, John 14, 15, and 16, I think, are actually more of a Pentecostal resource than Acts chapter 2. If you want information about the Holy Ghost and what he does and how important he is to us, we read about the experience of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and it's amazing. It's thrilling. It's wonderful. And it was the beginning of the Pentecostal era, the initial pouring out of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. But if you want to know more about why the Spirit of God is important to us, then follow the teachings of Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16. And so right off the bat, we see that in chapter number 14, in verse number 16, Jesus emphasized this idea of the Holy Ghost being a comforter. He said that in the verses we read tonight, but he says it in several times over these few chapters, these long chapters, these many verses. In verse number 16 of chapter 14, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. There it is. Friends, this is a special gift for the church, for the believer. You've got to be saved. You've got to be cleaned. Amen. You've got to belong to him to receive this special gift. The world cannot receive him. Amen. But Jesus said, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. So two mentions right there. The first one we read in chapter 16, another one in verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, do you get the idea here that Jesus is referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as the Comforter? I think that that's an important message for us tonight. We need the Holy Ghost because we all are in need of comfort. Amen. We all need this special presence of God to enable us in the difficult times of our life. There's many other reasons I'm going to try to get to, but right from the beginning, I want to tell you we need the Holy Ghost because we all have struggles, because we all have sorrows, because we all have sicknesses, because we're all going to be facing bad news and bad reports, and there's going to be overwhelming circumstances in life that we're going to need a special presence, a special strength in our life to comfort us in those difficult times. And Jesus said exactly who that is. I'm going to send you another comforter. That comforter is the Holy Ghost. Now, pardon me, or I don't beg your pardon, but I just need to explain that I'm an old-time Pentecostal and King James man, so I go with Holy Ghost most often, but I'm not offended by referring to Holy Spirit. They are interchangeable words, all right? So Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, the same person. I emphasize that. One of the first churches that I pastored in my ministry, I was exposed to the idea that some said, you can't call him the Holy Spirit, because the King James says Holy Ghost. And my argument was, okay, then since the Bible does refer to the Holy Ghost and does refer to Holy Spirit, you must believe in a foursome. I've heard of oneness, and I've heard of two-ness, and I've heard of trinities, which we are. You must be four-ness if you believe in four. Huh, never thought of it that way. No, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are the same. And the Comforter is another name for that same person. Amen. I believe, amen, that the Holy Ghost is our Comforter, and we need comfort in the crises of our life. We're surrounded by crises of all kinds. Sometimes it'll be financial losses. Sometimes it'll be family struggles, difficulties, confusions that try to erupt in family situations. Sometimes it's just knowing that we're living in chaotic times and a nation that is divided, and all around us various things that can be confusing to us. That's when we rely on, amen, this special presence that God gives us, the presence of a Comforter, amen, the Parakletos, the one who goes alongside of. I'm glad I've got one that goes alongside of me. And Jesus said here, not only will he be with you, but he will be in you. I need the Comforter with me and in me. I want the baptism of the Holy Ghost because I am so constantly in need of comfort. Hallelujah. Amen. I loved hearing Brother Rick Cruz tonight tell about his visit at the hospital and trying to encourage somebody going through a difficult time in their life. I don't know that he would or Sister Mary would directly correlate the moving of the Holy Ghost in their life and what they do. They might be tempted to say it's just what we do. Amen. But when you're speaking words of encouragement and words of comfort to somebody in a time of crisis, that's the Holy Ghost at work. Hallelujah. When we pastored in South Carolina, we had a man in our church, Brother Paul Horn. He was 91, I think, at the time. And every Sunday after morning service, every Sunday, amen, he would drive over to the nursing home to try to be an encouragement to the old folks. And I would say that, Brother Horn, amen, you going to the nursing home today? And he'd say, yes, sir, Brother Blue, I got to go and encourage the old folks, 91 years old. Now, the Holy Ghost at work to try to comfort and help and encourage somebody along the way. Praise God for the Comforter. Amen. I have kind of extended my little points here with my terminology. So I want to tell you that we need the Holy Ghost because he covers us with continuous comfort. And we need that cover from the Lord. Amen. But he also, according to 14:26, John 14:26, he musters miraculous memories. Amen. Praise God. The scripture puts it this way. Let me get to this point. Chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. This was especially important to the disciples because they didn't have yet the copies of the written word like we have. They had sat directly under the teaching of the Lord Jesus himself, and they were constantly consuming much information and inspiration from the Lord. How would they remember all of this? And Jesus answered that by saying, the Holy Ghost, when he comes, he's going to bring these things to your remembrance. I don't know about you, but as I age, I struggle more and more with my ability to recall. My memory seems to fail more and more often. But I find a certain satisfaction in knowing, amen, that if I have the Holy Ghost, he is able to bring to my remembrance exactly what I need at the right time. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. Like that lady sitting in her rocking chair day after day at the nursing home, friends and family would come and left discouraged because she had forgotten their names and many of the facts and details of her life were now distant memories. But rocking there in her chair, she said over and over again, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I'll tell you what, if I'm old and gray, well, as a matter of fact, I am. But when I get to that point where I'm confined to a rocking chair and I can't remember everything else, I hope I can do like that lady by the power of the Holy Ghost in us. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Praise God. Some of our heroes of the faith, Sister Blue and I have long loved and admired Brother and Sister Brand, Brother Kenneth and Sister Vera Mae Brand. And if we had anyone that we'd want to pattern our life and ministry after, it was those two. Amen. They were special people in our life, older than us, but they were pastors, missionaries, evangelists, and had experienced a lot of things. Amen. But Sister Vera Brand got Alzheimer's in her older years. And Sister Blue and I were traveling through Western Kentucky and decided to stop by and visit them. Amen. It was heartbreaking to see how unclear and uncertain she was. But Brother Kenneth Brand said, Vera, let's go in here with Mike and LaDonna and gather at the piano and let's sing and pray and worship the Lord. And instantly, she was a walking songbook. Amen. She played the piano and the words of the songs came. Amen. I think Brother Kenneth played the piano that day. But anyways, the recall of those special songs of praise, the songs of Zion that she had sung so many times before and blessed so many people with before. Thank God. Amen. That he musters miraculous memories, brings it to us just at the right time. Amen. And I think that that's a miracle of the Holy Ghost at work. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a third thing. He tells tremendous testimonies. That's also found in this verse where the scripture says, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen. He will testify of me in chapter 15, verse 26. Testify of me. I believe that there's a special unction that comes from the Holy Ghost that enables us to testify because he's the testifier. He's the testifier. Amen. I'm glad for the times that the Lord would speak to me things in my heart. Many times it was just him directing me to a scripture. But when I needed it, the Holy Ghost directing me to something, I never saw that before, never realized that before. But he was testifying to me about Jesus and what he does and what he can do. Amen. I'm glad for the testifier that lives within us. I believe, amen, that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. that there ought to be something inside Pentecostal people that makes us want to say something and testify to something concerning the Lord. Not just in church, of course, but outside the church, to talk of Him and testify of Him and tell about if you have the Holy Ghost, the testifier inside of you, you ought to testify. Amen. Praise God. I believe that He will testify of me, Jesus said. I've seen this at work in several people, but oftentimes I think about Sister Barbara Brim. She, of course, Brother Tim Brim's wife. They traveled, evangelized for years. Sister Brim, Sister Barbie didn't sing. She didn't play the piano, and she openly admitted that she, regretted not having that talent to contribute to her husband's ministry. But what she did have was an amazing ability to inspire a crowd with a testimony. And she would stand and she would say something drawing from some inspiration of the day, something she had seen or something, and it was so encouraging, and she wasn't even a preacher. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could sense this presence of God in a way that makes us want to see Him in so many things around about us in our life. And then apply it and tell others about it. Amen. John chapter 16, verse number 8. I get a little bit out of order here, but we'll get back to the other chapters here. But I want to point this out. And when He has come, Jesus said, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Amen. In other words, the Holy Ghost is going to create challenging conviction. The presence of the Holy Ghost should bring conviction. After all, He is the Holy Ghost. I lost you. What was it, 0.2 or 0.3 or 0.4? I want to tell you that the presence of the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. Amen. That's why I believe it's important for our churches to preach holiness and teach holiness and call people to righteous living. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's no other way that the Holy Ghost can lead us except into holiness. Because He's holy, we want to be holy. It's not a drudgery or a burden, and contrary to popular opinion, amen, to try to live a holy life is not just legalistic jargon, going down a list of do's and don'ts and trying to live by the law every day. Amen. It's the inspired presence of God in us that makes us want to be more like Him. Amen. If we have a hope that Jesus is coming back, and I do, I believe the Lord's coming back, and it could be sooner rather than later. Amen. He that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. We need the Holy Ghost in our life to draw us and move us and convict us. Amen. To be more holy and to be like Him. And then on the other side of that is because of holiness in our life, it is going to convict and reprove the world around about us. Amen. It's going to be hard for people to see their need of a Savior if they don't at first see how sinful they really are. Something has to happen in their conscience to awaken them, to make them aware of. Amen. It's not that we're trying to pretend to be holier than thou. I don't think, even though we've been accused of that, Brother Kroger, I don't remember anybody that I've ever known going to somebody and saying, I'm holier than thou. If they feel that, it's because there's some presence, there is some difference that makes them feel aware and conscious of their shortcomings and their sin and their need of a Savior. And I hate to admit it or to tell you this, but the reality is, your presence just might make some people feel uncomfortable. And that's not a bad thing. Hey, man, we're not looking for a way to make people's lives miserable. We're not trying to just purposely make them uncomfortable. But with the Holy Spirit within us, there ought to be some radiance of conviction in our life towards the world. Woo! All right, we're moving on. But would you say amen in spite of that? Number five, he sustains supernatural strength. Chapter 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, this is an area where we might struggle, and I struggle. This concept of Jesus telling us we would do greater works than him. Probably we could convince ourselves that he's talking about in multiples, the multiples of work, because through multiple people and the spreading of the gospel in multiple countries throughout the world, the message will spread. And so while he was confined here on earth to a limited area and a limited time, amen, multiple things are going to happen after he goes back and pours out his Spirit. And greater things, greater, more things are going to happen. But I believe also that there's an indication here that he is going to give to his church supernatural strength, supernatural ability to do what we are not capable of doing in ourselves. Amen. And I'm glad that our weakened bodies and our tired minds that require divine assistance in our living for him in this world can find it in a refreshing of the Holy Ghost in our life. We need to pray through quite often to a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I know that there is an initial experience where we are first baptized, initially filled with the Holy Ghost. But as Christians, we need to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. And it needs to be a constant thing. And in that, we find a strengthening and an enabling and an ability that is beyond our own ability. Amen. Through the years, we have met many, many preachers that if you look at their outward circumstances, you would ask yourself, what keeps them going? How can they possibly do it? And Brother Davy Boggs is one of those. Man, he was one of those that during the COVID time when all evangelists were sidelined because we were canceled out and there was churches weren't hardly even having church, let alone revivals for multiple nights. Brother Davy and Sister Kelly found a way to do it online, and they were having revival night after night after night and making it available to people online. And the moment there was a door to open up, they were packing up their bus and getting on the road. And there was a drive in them. But he got sick himself. He had COVID, and it took a real toll on his life. And yet, as soon as he got feeling able, they were back in the bus, and they were loaded up, and they were going to preach. And there were times I would think, oh, brother, you need to just take some time off. That's my tired old body talking. Amen. Where does he get the strength to do that? This year, amen, I think it was earlier this year, he had a stroke. Do you remember, Brother Daniel? He had that stroke, and for a time he was in the hospital. It paralyzed his tongue and throat. He wasn't able to feed himself. They had to find other ways to feed him, and gradually he got his strength back. He recovered some, and guess what? Amen, he had to go preach a revival. And so while I feel that sense of loss tonight, I also feel a sense of conviction, amen, that we've got to quit making excuses. We've got to quit finding a way out. We've got to depend more on that same Spirit in us. Amen. Lord, if you'll give me an opportunity, I'll sing that song. If you'll give me an opportunity, I'll testify. If the door opens, I'm going to go preach. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost gives us the strength, the miraculous ability to do what we cannot do in our own strength. We need the Holy Ghost. And we need him now, praise God. In chapter 16 and verse 13, another aspect of the Holy Ghost that Jesus told us about. Chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, by the way, another name for the Holy Ghost. He's here called the Spirit of truth. When he has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Amen. I believe this idea of leading and guiding, and then that word guiding, guide, verse 13, he will guide you into all truth. Amen. Yes, he's going to guide us to the truth and show us what is right. But get that idea of the Holy Ghost guiding us. Amen. Leading us, helping us. I don't know about you, but there's times where I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it. I don't know where I should go. Amen. But thanks be unto God. Even the psalmist of the Old Testament said, amen, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. How does that ordering happen? If there's a divine involvement in our life, the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life, then we need to be aware and conscious of the fact that he's leading us. Let's keep moving forward. By the guidance of God, let's keep trusting him to lead us and guide us. Amen. He's going to teach us and tell us and help us with all of the decisions that we have to make. He grants gentle guidance in our life, because that's what he does. I like the story that I'd read years ago about the man that was often hired to guide people across the Sahara Desert. And it was a wasteland and a very difficult geography to traverse if you didn't know your way, the blowing winds and the lack of landmarks. So somebody that knew how to survive the desert and find direction in the desert had to be hired for guidance. Well, this one guide that I read about, they nicknamed him the Dove Man. Amen. It wasn't really a dove that he owned, but in the dove family, it was a pigeon that he carried with him. And if he ever got in a situation where he wasn't quite sure which direction to go, he would tie a string to his wrist and the other end to the leg of that pigeon that some were calling the dove. And he would release that. And let's just go with dove. That fits, doesn't it, tonight? He released that dove into the air. And it was a homing pigeon with deep inbred instincts on how to find your way to home. And so when that bird would find a direction towards home, the bird man would say, "We go that way." Amen. Trusting the dove knew the way home. Amen. I believe that the dove knows the way home tonight. I believe the dove is the Holy Ghost. That's the emblem that came down upon Jesus when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm going to trust the dove tonight. And we need to believe that he's leading and guiding and directing us. Praise the Lord. And number 7 has to do with end times, which is why we need the Holy Ghost now. In chapter 16 and verse number 13, we just read it to you. He was talking about guidance, revealing truth, leading us. And he said, he will show you things to come. Amen. He will show you things to come. This is the exposing of eternal events that only God can do. I don't know what is about to happen. I don't know the exact calendar of the end times, but he knows. But he knows. And we have scriptures where the Bible says that whatever the Lord does, he does nothing but what he reveals it to his prophets, reveals it to his people. He wants us to know. He wants us to prepare. He wants us to brace ourselves. He wants us to properly use the amount of time that we have left. And we are running out of time. But we can't properly do that if we don't have some sense of idea of where we are in the plan and program of God. I think that we need to be asking that in these last days, the Holy Ghost would begin to give us understanding of the events in our world and things that are going around around about us. We can't just trust the politicians. We can't just trust a Google search. You can't believe everything that you read on the internet. Amen. Not every news service is going to give you news. Amen. I believe that what Jesus said about the end times is absolutely true, fact, real, realization. He said multiple times in Matthew chapter 24 that there would be deception in the last days. Take heed that no man deceive you. If it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Five times in that chapter, chapter 24, talking about the end times, he warns us not to be deceived. If we're not going to be deceived, then that means we need to know the truth. We need to know what's really happening, what's really going on, and who to believe. I believe we need the Holy Ghost and we need him now. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So many things that we could say. So many things. These are seven things that I picked out of John's account of Jesus teaching about the Holy Ghost. It's not even taking into account the nine gifts of the Spirit that are listed in the book of Romans, the nine fruits of the Spirit given to us in Galatians. Amen. I guess 1 Corinthians is what I was thinking of, the gifts of the Spirit, gifts, fruits, so many things that the Holy Ghost does. Amen. I believe that the Holy Ghost prays powerful prayers through us. Different subject, different time, because it's not in these chapters I chose to preach to you from. But there's times when we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost makes intercession through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. We need the Holy Ghost to help us to pray. My, did I just make 8 points? Why don't we make it 9, 10, 11, or 12? Amen. I just want to emphasize to you tonight, church, Union Road Pentecostal Church needs to continue to put emphasis on the Pentecostal experience. And by the way, it's the Holy Ghost that anoints leaders. It's the Holy Ghost that appoints leaders. Let's trust him. Let's let God do his work. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for the Holy Ghost tonight. If you would stand with me this evening. Amen. Sister Julie is going to play some music for us. I'm not asking you to play this song, but the song that comes to my mind thinking about the Holy Ghost is that old-fashioned one that says, he abides, he abides. Hallelujah. He abides with me. Amen. Thank God. Aren't you glad for the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost tonight? Amen. He is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. Woo! Hallelujah. For the Spirit has control, and Jesus satisfies my soul because the Comforter abides with me. By the way, little footnote, that was written by Herbert Buffum in 1922 in Illinois. Can any good thing come out of Illinois? That song did. Church, we need a revival. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. These young people need to be filled with the Holy Ghost in these challenging times. Encourage them. Pray with them. Pray for Him to do His work in this last day's church. Lift your hands towards heaven and just thank Him for His precious promises, His wonderful word. Sadly, we're living in a day, Brother Maggard, when the church, the modern church, depends so much on the three M's. Men, money, and marketing. And that's what it's become. We need Him. It's not just talent we need, it's the Holy Ghost we need. And I feel an urgency to encourage you to embrace the power of Pentecost. Amen. Let's let God do His work in us. Lord, we thank You for Your word. And I pray as the church gathers together tonight to seek after You, that You would teach us, tell us, lead us, guide us, help us, Lord, to be more like You and to be the church that You want us to be in these last days for Your glory. Come on, church, find a place to pray. If you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, ask Him tonight. Amen. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, start asking Him. Start praying. Oh, seek the Lord with all your heart to be filled with this precious baptism of the Holy Ghost. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
The living.